This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. One breath. I did that in.
And if you are a Patreon supporter of the show, you can join and watch us live when we record this on the Saturday mornings. That's any tier. That's $1, it's $2, or even that parent tier of $50 that none of our parents have put down for. Those bastards.
They support me in other ways.
That's true. That's also really handy. But if you want to show the love of pop culture on your body, it's popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this. I don't believe you're wearing one today.
I forgot to wash the one I wore last week. And my other one, I wore as an undershirt to work yesterday, so it fucking stinks.
Man, you get some more.
I just need to do my washing.
Yeah, it's all true. You get the rounds out there. Yeah. And of course, we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist as well. We can come over there and follow and subscribe and donate and give some of them sweet bitties and all the other things you do on Twitch.
Bitties for the titties.
Man, that's why I love bitties. That's why I love the term bitties, because it sounds like titties and it makes me really happy. I giggle every time. I'm like, thanks for the bitties.
A bit for a tip. However many bitties you get donated should be how long you have just one breast exposed.
Yeah, because like, I think I know that Twitch has like rules around breastises. I don't know what the rules are.
I see them enforced all the time. Yeah, go to like what's the sub channels? It's like live now.
There's the IRL,
Twitch IRL,
which is all like the ASMR, which isn't a sex thing, but all of them are just the chicks with like boobies and dudes like shirtless rubbing these ears, going, but you know, it's not a sex thing.
Yeah,
it's not.
But the soothing thing is the breasts slapping together. It's just one. This is relaxing.
Quality show.
I was listening to another podcast on the way here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we need to up our game because they sacrificed a baby live on air to get more views.
Whoa.
So I don't know what else we can do. I know you have a baby here.
I
don't know how attached you are.
Pretty attached.
But their views have increased quite a bit since they've done that. So just something to think about for the future.
Look, I'm open to the idea if we hunt down another baby.
No, but they're doing babies already, so we need to think of something else.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, is it more of the ritualism of the baby, or is it...
It's just dead by the end of the show. So...
I'm not very comfortable with that.
But it's just food for thought for future.
We do need to do something to get those views up. So if you are watching, you have any ideas, and don't just say make a better show, because we would do that already.
If you have any better ideas or a spare baby.
Let us know in the comments below. Hey, Ben.
I feel like poop again today.
No, no.
However, I am in the market for a new guitar. So that's kind of propping me up a little bit. Make some phone calls when we're done here. Try to hunt one down.
Do you reckon you pick it up locally? You're going to have to go for a drive.
I'm happy to go for a drive. The thought of like doing a road trip to somewhere new to pick up a new guitar and then strapping it into the front seat and driving it home.
Guessing it. Yeah. And stopping halfway, side road. Just,
just quick little solo. However, there's one music shop in Geelong that I think may be able to get.
Even if you order it in?
Possibly. They have the models before, but not this particular one. But I know they've ordered things in before that aren't online. So, we'll see. After. It's the Epiphone Prophecy Les Paul Custom Plus EX. Good buddy Joel Gralton linked it, and it was instant love. It is a sexy, sexy
It's a very sexy guitar.
And I haven't had a good guitar for like near a decade. Since like in the band late teens, and then that kind of fell apart. I just sold all my stuff, and I've just had kind of a $200-$300 piece of shit since then. I'm ready to step up my game. I need something that's not games. I get fed up with games sometimes.
I don't understand.
But I have
that.
Nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So
I do certainly think that we are still yet to jam.
What?
We're still yet to jam. We need to do this.
Well, you need a drum kit.
I just borrow your son's.
It's not great. It needs an amplifier, and I only have a amp.
I have an amp.
How big, though?
Little box one. Ain't nothing to worry about it.
You'll, like, hit the snare, and, just pop, and the speaker just, like, turns to confetti.
Like, that was a cool effect.
Do that again. Putting it back together. yeah, been playing the WoW X-Pack.
How's it going for you?
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. A lot of, like, server lag and stuff like that. But I think I'm going to switch over to Alliance. Even though literally...
Dude, we literally made everyone in the PopC community, they're like,
I said from the start, I'd prefer to play Alliance.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what are we going to play on? I'm like, well, Josh says Alliance is for, quote, gay boys.
Yeah, but you don't even fucking play anyway. The only person who's playing is Craig.
And Jess.
And Jess as well. A couple
other guys.
Just looking at the Horde questing experience, which I've nearly finished for the expansion, is okay. Writing's cool, but the Alliance side is all like Witcher and Blair Witch kind of shit going on. Yeah, like these old Victorian village overrun by like witches in the forest and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, this looks really fucking cool. I kind of want to do that. I'll end up doing both.
Well, would you start from one?
No, I already have 2 110 level Alliances. I've got 11 max level tunes, so I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I'm at level 2 with my orcs. I'm like, oh, you want to start again? That's cool.
You've played for literally 8 minutes.
Yeah, right about.
Yeah. And Dead Cells.
Yeah?
It's good.
Still having the Dead Cells?
Yeah, going for that plat.
Oh.
I think 50% of the way there just through natural play. So I'm at that point where it's like, well, maybe I will. A couple trophies have me like, ooh.
Do you get one where you get smushed, but you have to smush yourself with the elevator?
Yeah, I've done that. I did that by accident, didn't I? It was a trophy site. but there's ones to beat each boss without taking any damage.
That's a bit tough one.
I'm almost there with the first boss. I fucking obliterate him. I could probably do it. But they get really hard as well.
The one that I still can't beat, the Concierge.
Concierge, yeah. But no, it's fun. It's good.
Yeah, very nice.
But that's nothing new. I elected against buying Death's Gambit this week. I'm hearing mixed things, so I'm going to give it a little bit.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Like, who else? I have been having a relatively quietish gaming week, but I've also been doing a little bit more here and there. Jumped back into Guacamelee. Still chipping away at that. I think I'm pretty close to the end of that now. I got to this sort of...
Number 2's out next week, so you might want
to... Yeah, I'm going to get one on that
chop,
one.
Chop on that.
So I kind of got up to the last kind of area. Well, I think this might be the last area. There's a bit of a bit more of a platformy puzzles, which I'm not quite the best at. So I'm like, I give it a go, and then I get angry. Then I come back to it the next day, and then I clear one section, and the next time I'm like, ah, oh, you son of a bitch. And there's a second one that's even harder, or a third one, and I just keep going back the next day and jumping on it, and this kind of gets me through.
You never finished Shovel Knight, did you?
No.
Had some extreme platforming.
Yeah, I was really butt at Shovel Knight.
Really?
Like, really butt.
Yeah.
So I'm still enjoying that. I think I'm pretty close to getting that one, get some credits on that. It's been a while since I've got some credits, actually.
You blew your load too early.
I went real hard at the start of the year, and I've not done anything.
Now
any
you
sense.
Don't feel the pressure to get
yeah,
credits.
Yeah, I've cleaned it. Now it's all schmick.
Yeah.
I playing Dead Cells as well. We streamed it on Wednesday.
How'd you go?
Yeah. I said, like, I up until the Concierge, I'm doing pretty smick.
Yeah.
Like, that part's fine.
Yeah.
There's no problem getting there. I'm like, pew, 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 pew. As long as I get, like, something decent at the start, I got no issues at all. Like, if it's like, hey, here's the foot and a stagger, I'm like,
foot
oh, I'm
amazing.
Ruined.
The foot is amazing.
I strongly disagree
the
with
foot
you.
Foot is absolutely incredible. The thing is, because you were saying before that you don't like the randomness of it, but the further you get and the more you play, the less the randomness matters. Because after you beat the Concierge, you can start putting cells into something new, which increases the quality of the items you'll find.
Well,
in
that's
the world.
Exactly what I want.
Yeah, and then when you use your cells to unlock like a random melee weapon that you've unlocked, or a random bow that you've unlocked, you unlock the ones that are really good, and then at the start of your run, there they are.
Yeah.
And you take what you like. Or if you don't like what you see, quickly just restart the run and just until you find something. I don't do that, but you can.
Because
I watched someone beat the game in 15 minutes the other night on YouTube.
Oh, shit.
Because you can speed run it. I found out you can skip the bosses later on. You fucking fly kick through the room, just yeah, before the door shuts behind you. That's cool. Yeah, you're saying that you don't like the randomness of it, but once you beat the
I dislike the randomness of them. Everything, like the randomness of the game, as in once you leave that you know, the start point, and then it's like the small section that's always the same, and then it's just random. I love the randomness of the levels.
No, but you mean the weapons.
The weaponry, yeah. Specifically.
But yeah, yeah. As the more you play, the less kind of that matters, because even if you find something you don't really like, it's normally got really, really good stats, at least.
Yeah. For me, I think it sort of comes down to... Because I can get to the boss, you know, on most weapons. I don't think it's a weapon issue here. I think it's me. I think I need to get better.
You need to just slow it down.
Yeah.
Because there's no time limit for the boss. And he's only got three things that he does, all of which are very easily avoidable. When he gets to
except for that red circle one kind of fucks me up.
No, but that's when you just slow him down and just stand back. Or you can dodge through it and not take damage.
Well, I dodge through it and then I go, huh, and then I get hit in the last second of it.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Which means my timing's off,
Yeah, but he's only got the three moves, yeah? He's got the red circle, he's got the fire from the ground,
and the jump.
And then he jumps. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just slow it down a little bit. Because the next boss after him later on, you can't slow down a bit. It's just fucking go all the time. And I had to get to the point where I could just brute force him. Like, I didn't do the fight the way it was supposed to be done. It's just like, I'm just going to close my eyes and go, and it worked in the end. So that's cool.
Nice.
But it's that hurdle. Once you get past the concierge, if you ever do, or you might choose to stop playing. But once you do, that's you kind of go... Oh, there's that big progression, adrenaline, like the
endorphin.
Endorphins, the dopamine hit. You're like, yeah. Oh fuck yeah, I did it, and then you see what else can happen in the game. You know,
I do.
You might not get there eventually. You might not, because you might decide to stop playing it. So.
Yeah, I am enjoying it. It's a good drop in for 5 minutes. You know, 10 minutes, do a couple runs.
I'll do a run.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I just said, like, I had my longest run ever on the stream. It was like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
which was weird because I didn't really get anywhere.
No, but you choose what you want to do in a run. It's like, do I just want to speed run to where I was and try to get further? Or do I want to take my time, get as many cells as I can through every level, like kill every creature in every area to just try to upgrade more?
Yeah, so like my 45-minute run came from getting through the first section. I think it may have been the sewers. No, it was the promenade. And then unlocking the ability to use the electric shrine things.
Yeah.
And then I went to that new area. So that's how I got to the 45. And then it got me back to the concierge and I smashed.
Yeah, they all kind of loop together. But then there's a route you can take which skips the concierge completely. And
what?
I've got a map.
I would like to see your map.
I've drawn the map.
And I did also reinstall Rise of the Tomb Raider. Shadow of the Tomb Raider coming out next month. And I do want to dive into that. So I thought I might as well.
Did you see Square Enix's quote about... They got questioned, I think, in an interview, like, are you worried releasing Tomb Raider near Spider-Man? And they're like, ha, only one of those games has Lara Croft in it.
Is it Spider-Man?
It's like, I think your confidence is a little bit misplaced. Yeah. But, you know, TT, each their own.
That's right, it doesn't matter, because that month has instantly just got a little bit less stressful, which we'll get to in the news, in the section that we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what PlayStation news happened this week.
Number one, Spyro fans will have to wait just a few weeks more than originally planned to play Toys for Bob's reimagined take on the first three Spyro adventures. Toys for Bob studio head Paul Yarn has confirmed in a blog post that the Spyro Reignited Trilogy for PS4 and Xbox One will now be released on November 13th. Toys for Bob and publisher Activision originally had it scheduled for the September 21st release. Paul Yarn, who spoke to IGN about recapturing the magic of the original Spyro games, said the team is, quote, deeply committed to getting these games right, and the delay is because the trilogy needs more love and care. Activision also released its own statement about the delay, citing the need for additional polish on all three games so that the trilogy not only lives up to fans' expectations, but our own incredibly high standards.
So there was a little bit...
A couple things.
Yeah.
Activision saying incredibly high standards. And two... this is just so they can put all the games on the disc.
Yeah, so for those who weren't paying attention previously or weren't aware, there was a statement released about a week or so ago where, oh, a bit longer than that, we were like, hey...
I'm pretty sure it was last week we talked about it.
Yeah, may have been. Yeah, where Spyro is not going... So Spyro 1 will be on the disc, where 2 and 3 will be a forced download. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not ready to go gold. Like, in the game...
Number one goes gold.
2 and 3 need a little bit of work, but you have to download the additional extras or whatever for that.
And of course, internet, it's just like...
Internet, like, what the fuck?
Rightfully so.
Because it's not as if it's an issue. Like, I was under the impression that it was like, hey, there will be discs. Some patches for 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I didn't know that disc is 1, 2 and 3 is full download. That's garbage. I did not know that.
Yeah. And it can't be...
So I defended it a little bit last week.
And it can't
week,
be,
have.
You know... They all won't fit on a disc. Get fucked. Yeah. You know, like The Witcher and stuff like that on a disc. And you tell
which
me
one
Spyro
about one of your
can't.
Arguments from last week?
So yeah, they you know needs additional polish. I don't believe that for a second.
I don't think it needs polish. I think it needs to be finished.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. This isn't a fixing a finished product. This is adding to an unfinished product.
Yeah.
It's also really good. It clears up September a little bit, which is really nice. However,
I wasn't getting it anyway.
But guess where it drops?
November.
Yeah, November. Guess what's around November? You know, Fallout and one up. There's another game coming out in the same week. Yeah, no, Call of Duty is October this year.
I don't really care.
Battlefield. Either way, they went from one space of a smush month surrounded by two better quality games. Then better quality. No, that's Tomb Raider. surrounded by two other games. Then they moved to November where they're now surrounded by two other games.
Yeah. So I don't think the move was to try to avoid getting lost in the shuffle.
I don't believe so.
For the rest of this year, you can't avoid being lost.
Yeah, because there's no reason they would have gone next to Fallout.
No. So, it is just... I guarantee you when Spyro Trilogy comes out, all three games will be on the disc.
Yeah.
I guarantee. I bet they're hoping by then that everyone's forgotten about that little thing.
See, Paul James did ask in the Popsy community group where we do want your questions and your comments and all those sort of things.
Fucking oath we do.
He said, he's like, he asked the question, did you guys cry the 9,000 tears that I did for Spyro? No, I did not.
Mm-mm. I couldn't care less.
Couldn't care. I
liked Spyro as a kid. Really enjoyed it. And I did Skylanders with my son when he was around that age. But I've got no real want to play them.
Yeah, I don't have that attachment. We've said this before. Like, I don't have the attachment to Spyro. I remember it being garbage. Like, it controlled like asshole.
Yeah, but so it was like, PS1, man.
Yes, no. Like, that's how I remember it. Even as a kid, I'm like, this handles like trash. So, like, if I was to go back and play that now, it would be devastating. And I'm like, for that reason, I don't have that nostalgia to it like I did with Crash. Like, I fucking loved Crash growing up.
But Crash controlled like ass too.
It did, but I loved it. This is the thing, because I don't have that rose tinted glasses to hide some of its flaws, I just remember it poorly. And like, I think this would be pretty good when it finally does drop, but
no, like, they're good games, but I have no real want to play them again, and I'm probably not going to. Medieval, on the other hand.
I did reach out to Activision, and they were like,
you reached out to Activision?
Yeah.
Nice.
I said, hey.
For a code.
For a code.
I thought you were like, journalisming.
No, because the Australian PR company, they're like, what the fuck are you asking us?
Yeah.
They were like, we have no confirmation. This was like a week ago. Like, we have no confirmation on the numbers we're getting, whatever. I'm like, okay, I need to take that as a bad sign.
Oh, no, that's pretty par for the course when we ask for a code most
times. I'm just talking shit. But, like, a month out, they don't have ideas. It's kind of a bit odd, but...
Because it was the same with God of War. We didn't know till pretty close to it actually coming out if we were getting it or not.
True.
So that's just biased hubris.
I'm just having fun.
You're just having fun at Activision's expense.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, Patrick Sodal, and Chief Design Officer and frequent spokesperson for EA, is exiting the company. CEO Andrew Wilson addressed the departure in an open letter to employees, writing that Sodal is gearing up for, quote, his next life adventure. Sounds sexy. Today, we are announcing that Patrick Söderlund has made the decision to move on from EA. Excuse Wilson me. Wrote, after nearly two decades as a pioneer for our company and industry, he will begin a new chapter later this year. Neither Wilson nor Söderlund has opened up about whether the former EA Worldwide Studios executive will be where he will be heading. Regardless, this marks a major loss for the company. Formerly CEO of Battlefield developer DICE, Söderlund rose through the ranks at Electronic Arts after it acquired the Swedish studio. He oversaw the company as it introduced numerous technology and creative changes, including the development of the company's standard Frostbite engine. Yeah, it sucks for EA. Kind of.
Well, not really.
Does it? I don't know.
Yes and no. Like,
I know it's big news, but I don't really know what I have to say about it.
Yeah,
I felt like it should have been mentioned anyway.
It's one of those things, like, if you... Was he the CEO, was it? No. What was his role?
I should know this.
Chief Design Officer. That's like, so it's a big shuffle in the sense of the Chief Design Officer by their name would overlook the essentially the guy that looks over the games. Hmm. He's not CEO, he's not running the company, he's after a very specific thing, which is let's look at how these games are performing.
Is everyone on track? Interpret it. Are they hitting their budgets?
Yeah, that's how I interpret the design offer. I could be entirely wrong. So having that switch out is kind of good. It may put EA in a different foot.
Kind of, but if that's what he does, it sounds like he doesn't really have too much input on the games themselves. Mm. He's just making sure that they're on schedule.
Yeah, but like that chief design officer could be the one that sort of oversaw and persisted with the implementation of microtransactions.
Oh, so you're saying he's responsible for the garbage?
No. Not true. I'm saying he may have had an involvement in that garbage. He could.
He could have been the one fighting back against it. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, half empty, glass half full. Either way, he could have been the one kind of, you know, with the power of the CEOs or whatever, forcing him to be that guy. This may go the other way. It may result them in getting more money. It could change how the games are made, is what I'm getting at.
But more importantly, I think, is he's obviously a very talented individual, starting as a developer at Battlefield and getting up to where he is now. So whatever he does next is a great gain for whatever company he ends up
with. But at the same time, he will be taking a massive pay cut wherever he goes next. So reportedly, last year, $45 million.
I'm quite certain that he could take like a zero pay cut and take nothing home and be fine for the rest of his life.
Of course. And then on top of that, he received a $20 million bonus to stay longer. So I think he was planning on leaving in the last year or so. Yep. They gave him like half his pay. Like, hey, can you go longer? Or he earned 20 and they gave him another 20. I can't personally understand what your job needs to be to earn $20 million or $40 million a year, and two, how do you spend that much money?
FIFA Ultimate Team last year alone made EA $800 million in profit. So you can imagine how much money EA has rolling around in the bank, regardless of all the negative press and all that. So they obviously pay very well to their higher ups.
Yes, I understand. This is this information I learned from another PlayStation podcast. They said that the median pay rate at EA is $96,000.
That's pretty good.
US, that's fucking fantastic.
That's what, 120 here?
Yeah.
Roughly. That's good.
A bit more. Which that's fair. Like fantastic for the on median, right?
Yeah.
Which means like don't know what the low end guys are working on, but. So, I understand that when a company comes in, you can't just have profits lying around. You have to keep money moving around. So, that's why you see big CEOs and big execs with big tons of paychecks, because they have to move this money somewhere.
Couldn't move it to their employees. I'll put it all in.
Yeah,
in
exactly. Office. Exactly. Yeah. I could
spread this $45 million over our 200 employees.
Mm.
Or I could give it to me.
I don't understand. I cannot. Like, there is a number. Like, that's more money than you and I combined will ever earn in our entire... We'll never see that much money. Ever.
I already had a bleak outlook on life and you just made it worse.
No, but I mean, like, how can one person have that much money?
It's
like,
not granted, even on the higher end.
Taxes would be fucked.
Like, it matters at that amount of money.
Yeah.
No, but, you know...
The point I'm making is... Even if they bring someone in at a lesser pay grade, that's a good couple $1 million that can go into making a better game elsewhere.
Or into the CEO's
pocket. Or into a different pocket.
Andrew Wilson's pocket.
Yeah, a different pocket. But I would like for it to go into something else. In my socialist mind, apparently.
But yeah, maybe after 20 years plus in the industry, he's like, I'm done with games.
Yeah, so I'm just going to retire at the age of whatever.
Yeah, I'm retiring at, I'd imagine he's in his mid-40s or something like that. Which I'd do. I'd get bored.
But you have the money to live the high life.
Like, I get bored because I have to live off bread and Nutella.
Yeah, like right now you'd be bored, but if you had that money, you're like, you know what?
I'm going to go to Egypt tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just going to fly to Egypt. Why? Because I can. Mm. No, I'm going to go, like, your options would be endless of what you could do.
I'm going to spend the next 3 years as a girl and then I'm going to change back to a boy. Just because I can.
Because I have the money to do that.
That's my pocket check.
You could do whatever you wanted with that money. Like, that is literally, as my favorite expression, it's fuck you money.
Yeah.
Someone's like, hey, can you do this? Like, no, fuck you. Like, because I have the money to, like, I am in a place of power where no one can mess with me.
I don't want to see you with a lot of money. Number three, people can be terrible.
People
and
are
that
terrible.
Goes double for when they can hide behind the anonymity afforded by an online game. Trolling can ruin the experience for people who just want to have fun, but Bethesda is looking to combat the trolls in the upcoming Fallout 76. The online post-apocalyptic survival game will encourage the community to clean up its own mess by turning trolls into targets. Bethesda says there will be penalties for attacking another player unprovoked, but not from Bethesda itself. If you kill a player who wasn't looking for a fight, you'll be marked with a bounty. The reward, in Nuka-Cola caps, comes from the aggressor's balance, weighted by level and how much havoc they've caused. Someone who goes around blowing up other players will eventually accumulate sizable bounties that make them prime targets. The map will show other players where troublemakers are hanging out so they can steer clear or go hunting for the bounty. There's also a revenge bonus, which doubles the bounty if you take out a player who previously killed you without provocation. When you die in combat, Bethesda says you won't lose your core gear like armor and weapons, which could make the occasional grieving less aggravating. It's cool.
I do like the idea that you'll still get hit and you're, oh fuck, you had a health drop.
Yeah.
But unless you shoot back, you can kind of get away.
Sit there and take it and then like get revenge kill for like all the money.
Mm.
Now that doesn't unlock until level 5.
Yeah.
Because that's when the PvP unlocks. But I like their way, like the community can clean up their own mess. This game is just going to be a shit show. It's going to be an absolute shit show. I'm excited for it.
I can't wait. And there's private servers as well. So if that's not where you're at, you can have your own work. Because I'm probably looking at building a PopC server. Mm. And we can all go in there and have our own little subsects and we fuck with each other and stuff. But because, you know, we're in there by agreement.
But I like that they're kind of thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
Where it's not like you can't grief someone because, you know, Bethesda are like, no, you can't do that and we'll ban you or suspend you or whatever. Like, no, fuck, just sort it out yourselves. You're all grown-ups. Maybe. Yeah, so I like that they're like, kind of thinking.
GTA has the same thing. So if you get taken out a lot, there's, you know, you can put a bounty on someone's head.
Yeah.
But it's only, I think the highest bounty is like 9K or something. Yeah. So
chump it's, change.
It's not really worth their time. They'll just keep fucking you over.
But and if in this case, if they keep fucking you over, the bounty just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing.
Which ideally would bring more people in.
Yeah, to want to take them out.
Yeah.
But then is it whoever gets the killing shot on this guy, or is it if you contributed damage before the death?
I imagine there's. I would like to think there's a trade system, like so it's like maybe, you know, if you're playing properly and you're playing as a community, as in like the four of you are building your own little Fallout community and working together, split that coin. Hmm.
Or yeah, if you like, you get like you got 100% bounty, and you dealt 25% of his life, you get 25% of the bounty. The other person did 40% of his life, they get 40%. But that's not
Wait and
I'm sure there'll be something.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's cool.
Now, very keen. It's the more I'm hearing about Fallout 76, the more I'm excited for it, which is already a given, and the more I'm liking. So these are some of the things I was concerned of with the idea of a fully online, you know, sort of self-contained little world. Like it could have the.
But I also like that. Fucked. Bethesda are also responsive in like, can we get public servers? No, we're not doing them. No, like we really want them. Okay, here you go.
Oh, with private servers, you
mean? Yeah, private servers. What did I say?
Public.
Oh no, private. Yeah. They're like, yeah, cool. All right, you want it? Here it is.
Yeah.
I like that too.
And I did like that because they're like, yeah, at this stage we don't have a place, you know, when I'm in servers in place. And then a couple of months later, when you know QuakeCon, they're like, yeah, we got them. We worked them out in this time. Sorry,
we heard you.
Yeah.
Four quick bits of news. I'll go through all four. Then you just talk about whatever you want. Little Nightmares has sold 1 million copies. Sony has sold 3 million PSVR headsets. THQ Nordic acquires Time Splitters IP, and Arkane Studios is taking a break from the Dishonored series. Little Nightmares, good little indie story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done.
Running every week with the indie success stories. I like it. I like it a lot. Speaking of indie success stories, this whole Dead Cells debacle with IGN and Mutant.
Which
and
is
all
so
that.
Got. I know you didn't bring it in. You didn't want to talk about it.
But it expanded in the last week.
Yeah.
But, like, this whole thing, nothing but good for Dead Cells. So many more people have been exposed to that game. And you know how when you're scrolling through IGN, it shows, like, how many comments are on each article? Yeah. It's like 30, 50. Someone from IGN redid the Dead Cells review, gave it a 9.5, and it's like 1,500 comments. People talking about it, going, "Yeah, I didn't wasn't interested, and then this whole thing happened. I looked a bit more into the game and I picked it up. Nothing but good for Dead Cells.
Mm.
Shit for nearly everyone else. But Motion 3 New made Dead Cells has been nothing but just free, amazing PR for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the game got amazing PR, but like, you know, because they didn't do anything wrong in this, so there's no negative issues for them.
It's just exposure.
On a side note, though, with filling on the feature or the Muchin, I couldn't pronounce it right.
Muchin.
Yeah, what I love even more, because so as you mentioned last week, he had issued an apology or a response, I should say, where he called out Jason Schreier as well. That video has since been pulled down. He baited the internet to be like, all right, fine. Other times I've played drives.
So many. To the point where I linked it in our chat, I think yesterday. Nintendo Life did an article for some game, and they've got his video review with his speech playing as their article types out, like word for word, with like the dates on there as well. It's word for word.
So
he read their review and just put gameplay footage behind.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have reached out to try to interview him, like Colin from Colin's Last Stand.
Kind of Funny has, even Jason Schreier has. I believe he's turned down all of them. Yeah, so they even found out that his LinkedIn profile, he copy and pasted from a template
of like what should be in your LinkedIn profile. Here's examples. I'll just take those.
See what baffles me is like, I understand YouTube doesn't have the journalistic integrity of real gaming websites. So he's able to churn out tons of videos of copying somebody else's info. Like one of the other examples I found was was him reading a NeoGAF post about HD Rumble. And, you know, the guy, he was literally read some guy's post, and even in the post, guy's like, "Hey, I believe it's this, this, and this, and this." He even copied the "I believe it's this, this, and this." I'm like, do you not have any of your own opinion? Yeah. Now, granted, we did say last week, you know, I didn't condone his behavior, but I did mention that when we first started and we started writing reviews, we would look at other reviews
to gain a vernacular. Is very different to being employed by IGN.
Correct. And like that's the point I didn't stress last week. Yeah. So as more of this comes out, I'm baffled. Like watching, you know, seeing his response, seeing all this, I'm like, what kind of just narcissistic piece of shit are you? Like, it really gives YouTubers like a bad name. And
not YouTubers,
in that sense, but like as in it puts that scrutiny a little bit harder. Like he got employed on the basis of his channel, right?
Mm.
I don't see that happening again.
On the other hand, he bluffed his way into the biggest world web gaming journalism.
Yeah, he faked it until he made it, and then continued to fake it.
Yeah,
like
the thing is, when he made it, he kept faking.
Yeah, he got to a point where he's like, "Well, I'm here now.
I don't know how to fake it.
Yeah,
I'm sure Jason Schreier is writing a very, very good piece on this.
The further I'm hearing about this, like when I first, I'm like, "This is so dumb." The more I see it, the more I hear about it, the more actually mad against me, which is super weird. I shouldn't care this much.
No, you shouldn't.
But it's just such a piece of shit thing to do. But yeah, anyway,
he's gone into hiding now.
Good
as well. Sony selling 3 million PSVR headsets.
That's impressive because there's not that many games.
Yeah.
There's not that many games worth buying. Almost 2.5 years in, I still don't think there's a reason to buy one outside of a handful of games.
No. Dad's giving me his.
Yeah.
PSVR headset because he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's got the Vive with like the room scan and all that kind of shit. He got the wireless one now too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So he's giving me his. Alex will play it. I probably won't.
Yeah. Well, we can go and borrow any of the ones we have. It's fine. Because we've got the headset comes out. It's came out twice this year for like Inpatient and Bravo Team. And there's another one coming out a little bit later in the year.
Is 3 million a respectable number in the grand scope of PlayStation?
Fuck yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but for a $500 peripheral? Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the possible 85-ish million people to buy it, only having 3 million, that's what? 1.5%
of the user base? Yeah, it's a really low percentage, but it is the best-selling VR headset.
Yeah, because it's the cheapest.
Yeah.
3 million is a huge number. But in the scope of PlayStation, that's not a very big number.
That's true. It's from last reported Xbox sales, that's 10% of Xbox.
No, Xbox. Last reported was like 2.5 years ago.
30 million.
Yeah, 2.5 years. Fuck off.
You're ruining my argument with facts.
I read stuff too, okay? You can't pull the fucking wool over my eyes. I don't see a big future for it.
Me either. Like,
especially for E3 this year.
That's my, like I said, like, when I say that, like I said, it's a higher number than I kind of expected. I don't think VR is dead. It's not doing well.
It's going the way of the Vita.
It really needs to do something to push it again.
Speaking of the Vita, Game Dev tweeted out, I couldn't find an article to support it, but he confirmed that in the next Unity update, it will no longer be supporting PlayStation Vita.
Yeah,
That's really like...
Well, we know Vita. Vita's dead.
And they're like, you know, Sony are like, we're not making any more games for it ourselves. If indies want to, that's cool.
Yeah.
But now that one of the biggest game engines that can be used to do that is no longer supporting it. So it's just kind of... It's really kind of getting...
Yeah, it has La Vita
over there.
I charged one up the other day.
Oh, yeah?
They're taking on the train with me.
Very nice.
I really can't anti-switch at the moment.
Oh, why?
I can't. The whole like indie pricing thing is just always in my head, and yeah. I can't. I'm just like, fuck you so much, like fuck you, and like the whole like Diablo 3 is coming to Switch, which is cool, but it's because I don't know if we talked about this in our chat or if I read it somewhere else, but it's because around the same time the Nintendo Online is coming in, and you'll need that to play Diablo Online. So if you don't want to get Smash Brothers, but you want to play Diablo. It's still kind of pushing you into the Nintendo Online, which we don't know what it entails yet. But yeah, I just can't get behind the Switch at the moment.
Mm.
I like it, but I'm not paying $10 more for all my games because you want me to. Give me a reason. Having a portable is not a reason to charge more because you chose to make it portable and that's your selling point. It doesn't mean you can charge me more for the fucking games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I charged up my Vita. I charged up my Vita to take on the train with me the other day. I didn't play it though. I fell asleep on the way to Melbourne. But I still like it. Every time I fire it, I'm like, I like this. Mm. I do like it.
Yeah, I still have mixed feelings. Like I said, when I had my good Vita memories are good Vita memories, but they're few and far between these days.
I'm willing to take more good Vita memories. That's it for the news, Ryan. There's no top-selling games list this week. PlayStation Australia just hasn't done one. God of War's number one. Detroit's in there somewhere. Probably three PlayStation hits, GTA and COD. There's your top-selling games. Why is that so hard, PlayStation Australia? That's it for the news, Ryan, as we have a chat to the players about Bethesda still publicly flipping off Sony to an extent. So I've got an article to lead us into this, and then we'll have a chat. Bethesda Softworks is pressuring Sony to change its much-maligned ban on cross-play, but not for its tentpole holiday release. Fallout 76. Eurogamer reports that Elder Scrolls Legends is the game for which Bethesda most wants Sony to change its policy. While it would be nice to have crossplay on Fallout 76, said Bethesda. Sounds like a lasagna topping. Bethesda Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications Pete Hines said, it's okay if that's not possible. But for Legends, it's absolutely critical, Hines continued. Both crossplay, which is how Legends works right now on every other device. You're playing against somebody who could be on any device, and more importantly, cross-platform progression, which means no matter what you do on any platform, you load up the game, and so long as you're logged in, here is all your progression, here is everything you had, and here is everything you were doing. He added that Bethesda is operating with the assumption that any platform it releases the Elder Scrolls Legends on, quote, must support cross-progression and cross-play. Now, it's kind of funny because all of that seems pretty important for Fallout 76 as well.
Mm.
Cross progression, cross play, what you're doing is over here and what's in there. So, we had a little bit of a chat before this. We're not on two different sides, but we've got two kind of different views on it as well. So,
yeah, mine comes from this is a nothing threat. This is a nothing threat because this is a free game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Legends is a free game. So, yeah, there's a reason that people want it. They want to have it across devices in the same way, in the same vein of Fortnite,
it's
right?
It's free, but also online TCGs are some of the biggest money makers.
Of course.
In the business.
Yeah, I mean free as in there's no barrier to entry. Like, it's free. So, yeah, it would make sense why they want to have it on everything. They want people to have it downloaded four times so they play it across different things. Mm-hmm. Sony have no reason to support this behavior. You know what I mean? Like, behavior, support this threat. You know, they're like, okay.
Yeah, but...
Like, but you know what I mean? Like, granted, like, unless they get a cut out of the whatever packs they buy there.
Fucking
but, you know, we talked about Fortnite, right? Like, you can buy those packs elsewhere, and then Sony doesn't see a cut. And like, if that was the, if that's the threat, then it's like, all right, you know, look, they, I'm sure there's some back end numbers somewhere about how Legends is doing currently, and I'm sure they're like, this isn't a problem. If Bethesda genuinely gave a shit and genuinely thought this was such an important feature, they would risk their big game coming out this summit. Like, granted, as a bit, like, you know, we discussed it before, as a business decision, it doesn't quite make sense. But if you truly, truly believe that this is something worth fighting for, Bethesda, you know, imagine. Look,
the you press, can't tell you can't tell me that over the course of 5 or 6 years. That Fallout 76 would make more money than Elder Scrolls Legends.
Oh,
that is fucking impossible. Elder Scrolls Legend is the bigger moneymaker in the long run. Not immediately.
Yeah, but card games aren't everyone's shit either.
No, but people will spend more over the course of time. You buy Fallout 76, that's the one-off
purchase. Yeah. But even in the press side of things, if they come out and because even if that is also an empty threat, that would be a bigger statement. That would get people riled up.
No.
Right now, like, as in, I imagine the internet don't give, like, the internet's like, yeah, you go Bethesda, but they're like, holy shit, you're risking Fallout?
No, but they should be getting a clap, because what other fucking company is doing anything remotely like this to call out Sony on their shit?
None.
No one. Bethesda is the only one.
We're both really passionate.
They are the only ones sticking their necks out. Doesn't matter to what extent. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's this big game or this medium game or this game you think is trash. It doesn't fucking matter. Because they're the only ones going, Sony, we are fucking sick of it. Stop being dickholes about this shit. They're the only ones. No other company in the fucking world, game developer, is calling Sony out as publicly as Bethesda has been the last month.
That's true. I completely agree with that, because no one else is willing to risk that now, or like a predicted 100 million console like market. Like, and that's why what they're doing is ballsy as shit. But
I get your point as well. I understand, but I also think from the behind the scenes point of view, like I said before, like, the initial purchases of Fallout 76 will be quite big, and they'll get a quite good amount of money from that, but it's not the game as a service thing, and we know those games over years pull in a fuckload of money. Like, so in the long run, that's 85 million people for Bethesda that aren't exposed to the Elder Scrolls Online, which would be one of their biggest
Legends, you
and
mean.
Elder Scrolls Legends, which would be one of their biggest money makers over the years.
Consistently,
just that passive cash inflow coming in.
That is
85
true.
Plus million people they're risking to not have access to that game.
Yeah, I agree.
That's cool as balls.
I completely agree with, like, that's true. That stance, totally baller, like, unquestionably.
But I get the impact would have been more if they're like, PlayStation isn't going to get Fallout 76 till they fix their shit. Yes, that would have had a bigger impact. People going, whoa.
Yeah,
and then the Sony fans would have been like, we want it.
Like, that would be like unanimously across the board. Everyone would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, even internally, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are we doing? Like, this is something we can't argue. Yeah. You know, granted, even if at a later date they pulled back and like, look, you know, we just wanted to get the shit up. Yeah. But like,
which I wouldn't put it past Todd Howard to be like, you know, we just want to keep that conversation.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to keep that game. Yeah. So, like, I do, like, that would have actively made change.
It would have made a bigger impact, yes.
Yeah, and I think it would have been way more likely for them to even make a dent. Because, right, like, I think this, even though it's still impressive, it falls right off the plate. Like, there's no penetration of the armor here.
But the
Fallout
thing is,
wouldn't break the armor, but it put a big old crack in it.
If Sony wouldn't budge for Epic Games and Fortnite, they're not going to budge for anything. Like, I believe that, like, to my core. If Fortnite is the biggest game in the world, and there's no debating it, it's not going anywhere, and if they won't do that for Fortnite and for Epic Games, nothing else is going to make them do it. I believe they're still just shutting the fuck up about it and waiting till next gen, because there may be something in the framework, but we know there's not, because Fortnite accidentally had crossplay enabled for a couple of hours, accidentally had it enabled for a couple of hours. So we know it can be done. Like, it is there to happen. So I don't believe that they can't do it either. I am kind of tired talking about...
Me too.
I believe... I'm still a firm believer that they should just do it. Because the conversation is not... This isn't a flash... I don't think this is a flash in the pan thing.
The more we talk about, the less I give a shit about...
Now, like, yeah. it was a flash in the pan in the past, but times have changed. You know, in the past, no one was doing crossplay, so it's like it wasn't
incorrect. PS3 did it with PC numerous times.
But no, Nintendo and Xbox weren't doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Times have changed. Nintendo and Xbox are doing it, and yes, Sony's in a position where they don't have to because they're the big dog and all that kind of stuff. I know, I get it, but this conversation will not stop now. It is not one of these, we'll talk about it for a month and forget about it, because we've been talking about it for 6 months now, and it's still in the news every fucking week.
Yeah.
There's going to be a point where I think they're just going to have to go, okay, fine. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
I agree. Do it. My point still stands, though. Like, I think they're very much within, I still think they're very much within their means to say no.
Yeah,
and stand on that ground, and like, for that reason, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. But like, the more I'm having this conversation with people, the more I'm looking into it, and like, the more I'm exposed to this, I'm being broken down by it. I'm like, personally, it's not a non-issue for me.
I want it because
it's a non-issue for me. But when it happens, I'd be incredibly open and welcome to it.
But like, my son plays on his Xbox 98% of the time now. Doesn't touch his PlayStation anymore. So if I want to play a game with him, we've got to pull his PlayStation out. He's got to get all the updates and, you know, whatever. If it was crossplay, he could just play on the console he wants to play on. I could play on mine. My life is fucking easier. I don't have to think about anything. I want it. I'm not pining for it, but I do. I would just like to see it happen. Yeah. And I still give a very hearty clap to Bethesda for continuing to publicly be like, just poking. Just keeping the conversation relevant, whether it's to the extent you'd imagine it to be or you want it to be or not, I don't think really matters. The fact that they're the only ones doing it is cool. It'll be interesting to see if more publishers kind of get a bit more vocal about it.
I still don't think so. I don't think anyone Pansies. Else will poke the bear.
Pussies.
Yeah, of course they are.
But those are big enough to do it. Yeah,
they're big enough to make a small empty threat and go with that. But I mean, like...
You don't see the bigger ones doing it. You don't see the smaller ones doing it. Bethesda wouldn't have said shit if they weren't confident in what they've said. Like, there's no reason for them to say that out loud to anyone other than behind closed doors, other than to be like, we're trying to do something for you. We can't sacrifice our biggest fucking game of the year for you, but we're trying to do something. So good on that.
I still certainly think, let's just say... Scenario, they did risk Fallout 76, and PlayStation were like, no. We know the PS5 is right around the corner. Like, we're talking the next two-ish years, right? If I were PlayStation, I would want as much good PR coming into that next generation as possible. Because we know for a fact, outside of PS1 to PS2, the generation leader... always changes. So you don't want to give them any reason to change. So if Bethesda did make that big threat and they refuse to buckle on that, no one's buying. Even if it is part of the framework of PS5 or whatever, no one would buy it.
And look at what look at what Microsoft have been doing the last 2 or 3 years. Nothing but goodwill. Yeah, they're behind. Cool, okay, that's forced them to do really, really cool shit. They got backwards compatibility, they got the Games Pass, they got the cross play, they've just bought all these new studios, which granted aren't going to have games out for quite a while.
Yeah, and they just bought Compulsion, which, you know, we have but, a you know, few not if doing
we're,
well.
If
so.
We're getting reveals in next year's E3 or the E3 after, those studios will probably have something to show. What's coming first party, something, a trailer, you know, whatever. They'll be pushing them to have something, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft has built up nothing but good PR the last 3 years. And at the moment, Sony's getting nothing but bad. The games are great, but everything else is getting shat on.
But I think it's a bit of that tall poppy syndrome as well. I think because they're number one, and they're number one by so far, that instantly puts them as a target. So everyone looks for reasons to bring them down.
Yeah,
but that's not me being PlayStation sympathizer. Not at all.
No, I understand that too. But when all your competitors are doing stuff that the majority of the global gaming fan base is like, that's really fucking cool, and they're like, nah, I don't want to. They don't have to. They don't have no reason to. They're outselling supposedly still 2-1 on the Xbox One, but you know, that's how it is now. But how is it when those next gen consoles come out and people have that urge to like, okay, now, like, I'm 5 years in with the PS4. I'm not buying an Xbox. But when the new gen comes out, it's like, well, this is kind of my chance to try something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, Microsoft have done really cool things the last few years. I like the Games Pass. I like being able to buy any old game from the 360 or the Xbox One and play it on my current console. That's cool. I really like that.
Mm.
Maybe it's my time to try an Xbox, which I tried this gen. Probably the worst gen to try it because Microsoft had a fucking abysmal start, which led me to selling it and getting a PS4. But like I've said before, I love Sony, but I'm not averse to buying an Xbox first at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. In the same breath, I do have this really like cynical look ahead to the next
everything
the next generation, because like I cannot wait. Like, I will get the biggest like schadenfreude, like just getting like enjoyment out of someone else's discomfort when if Xbox do come out in as the leader in the next one and they repeat the same shit PlayStation does. Like this is a like it's a cyclical nature. Like Xbox 360, they're at the top. They thought they were untouchable. That's released consoles the break. Fuck it, we're Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So PS3 had to work harder, and when they worked harder, PS4. Fuck it, we're PS4, we're untouchable. Xbox had to work harder. Like, I truly think it will go the other way, and all this goodwill could mean nothing in 5 years.
It could, but then also...
Part of me, just out of my own self-satisfaction, I do want to see that.
As a consumer of games, you shouldn't want to see that, I know, period. Like, at
me,
all.
It just makes me an arsehole, really.
But at the very least, for what we can tell, Microsoft has an ongoing relationship with Nintendo as well. And where, you know, Microsoft's on top next gen.
I disagree. Like, so Nintendo, far, we have proof of a one-time conversation.
I mean, they've got like 10-plus games that are all cross-play.
Like what?
Rocket League, Minecraft, Fortnite, probably more. I don't know.
Three. I've had three comments.
Okay, so how many are PlayStation in on that?
Absolutely none.
But you know what I mean?
My point still stands, but like...
No, but they have fostered a relationship together. Yeah, they're behind, but yeah, they have time.
No, I think it's more of a. See, the big thing.
I think your stance of wanting to see the schadenfreude is not good. Period. It's what do we benefit from other than you getting that smug?
It gets me going.
Yeah, but how does that help anyone?
No, it doesn't at all. Like, no. My point, like, I'm trying to be devil's advocate here. Like the idea of, you know, 10+. I know you're just hyping up bog, yeah. But like. You know, it's like all these conversations. I'm like, no, these are all third parties that have spoken to each of them. They're like, are you happy for crossplay? Yeah, I'm happy for crossplay. There's no outside of Minecraft, there's been no direct talking between the two, because Microsoft own Minecraft, own the Mojang studio, so they had to talk to Nintendo to make that conversation happen. Every other conversation is a third party dealing with both. I don't think there is an ongoing conversation between the two. I think they have each other on like speed.
I don't believe that a third party studio can be like, hey, we want to do that and have no interaction between Microsoft and Nintendo to go, okay.
No, I think it's... I think there'll be a minor conversation.
Of course there has to be.
Yeah, but when the implication that I receive from you in the terms of, like, they're having a dialogue, it's like, hey, man, do you want to do something about Rocket League? Like, yeah. No, it's more of like a, you know... They go to Nintendo. Nintendo said, yeah, we're happy to do it on these conditions. Xbox, happy to do it on these conditions. All right, they meet in the middle on those conditions. And then they go, okay, what if we do this and this? Yep, that's fine. Yep, that's fine.
That's a dialogue. That's a conversation.
That's a conversation between two parties and... So between Nintendo and Psyonix and Psyonix and Nintendo.
That's you assuming it happens that
way. That's how, like...
Where does it say anywhere else that is...
No, but, like, why would they need to talk about that? I from my understanding, I think that would be... In terms of a conversation, and I'm getting, like, some real stuck in the semantics here.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah.
Where is PlayStation in those?
Oh, they're not even...
Where are they in those...
Oh. No, unquestionably. Like, I'm not debating the fact that they're not in that room, because they're not.
No.
And they're kind of shit.
Jerking their dick outside, yeah. Having a cigarette.
Yeah, but they're pretty shit for doing that. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think this is this lovely romantic relationship that everyone...
No, that's not what I was getting
at. No, not you. And this is the internet as a whole. Like, they romanticize this big crossplay between everyone. They're all the best of friends. Fuck no. The second they can, I reckon they'd rub each other in the dirt. Yeah. It's competitive. It's business.
Microsoft has nothing to lose from Nintendo, because Nintendo will never be a competitor directly to Microsoft.
True.
There's no threat there.
Get my point, though.
I get your point, But Nintendo and Microsoft are very different to Microsoft and PlayStation. Nintendo is never going to be a threat.
They're threats to no one. They're doing
they're doing their own thing. So there is no reason not to do this with Nintendo.
Well, it's because there's no one else to talk to. Exactly. It's like if you're having a fight with your friend, there's only one other person in the room. You're like, well, I guess I have to talk to fucking Dylan.
No, because when you and Dylan are having a fight, I fucking walk away by myself. Like every fucking expo we go to.
Shit. What do you think?
What was the point of that? What was the initial thing? Oh, Elder Scrolls.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Bethesda could have gone harder.
From your perspective of wanting that, I want it too, and I want Microsoft to shit on Sony next gen just to be like, this is what happens.
Yeah, look, in that same breath, I would like to see Xbox shit on Sony
just to push progression.
Yeah, just to push it forward. Because
that's what always happens. One company shits on another, the other one is forced to make drastic changes and innovate, which Microsoft has.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the shoe goes to the other foot, that company is forced to do the same thing and more.
Yeah. I agree. That's the exact reason I would like to see them come out and be on top of that and sort of put that boot in and put that force in.
Just a reminder to everyone that being at the top does not last in this industry.
Yeah.
And you're forced.
And I am also very looking forward to the day where third-party games are like DVDs. That DVD works in any DVD player.
Yeah.
But you know, I still think, obviously, first parties have a place. Mm-hmm. Although your DVD player plays just PlayStation. Or in rather than, like, you have to buy the Xbox version of Assassin's Creed or the PlayStation, you just buy Assassin's Creed and it goes in either of them. Mm. It's a console edition.
That's cool. That's another discussion entirely, but I like that.
That'd be fucking cool. I'd be totally down for that. Yeah, but until then, you have to buy your game specifically for that platform. Mm. And these are the games that are coming to the PlayStation platform this week in a section we call Coming to the Players.
Got a decent drop this week.
Nice.
Kind of. So I'm going to read out, like, because Justin Massengill does, like, I don't know. I don't think I ever looked if Ryan Clement
did. He did. We didn't pay attention.
No. Anyway, the headline game is Guacamelee 2. Explore a vast handcrafted world inspired by Mexican culture and folklore, filled to the brim with wacky new villains and weirdos, a few old friends, and a whole lot of chicken. Developed by Drinkbox Studios, Guacamelee 2 is a frantic, festive Metroidvania-style adventure featuring a new upgrade system, 4-player local co-op, and more gorgeous visuals thanks to a fancy new rendering engine and some polo power. So, yeah.
Polo means chicken.
All-Star Fruit Racing, PS4 digital and retail. It's like a Mario Kart-ish game. Brawlout, PS4 digital. That's like a Super Smash Brothers kind of game. You see the theme here?
Yeah.
Brawlout's pretty good, though. I played it for a bit on Steam.
Nice.
I liked it. F1 2018, PS4 digital and retail. Fall of Light, PS4 digital. That looks like Dark Souls, man. Guacamelee 2, PS4 digital. Little Dragon's Cafe, PS4 digital and retail. Brother and sister are learning to run a small cafe with their mother. One morning, the twins discover that she won't wake up. Wrangle a dragon, run the family business, and find a way to save their mother. This is by the creator of Harps Moon. So we've chatted about this game a few times. I didn't realize it was so close.
I thought it was way away.
Way off. But it makes sense we were talking about it, which means it was probably getting a bit closer.
Yeah, I'm super keen. I'm jumping on that for sure. What day is it on the 24th?
I think that's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Out of the box, PS4 digital. Pizza Titan Ultra, PS4 digital. What? Slime Rancher, PS4 digital.
I love how your tone of voice clearly demonstrates which one's better.
Slime Rancher is a charming first-person sandbox experience in the business of slime ranching. Plays Beatrix LeBeau, a plucky young rancher who sets out for a life on the far, far range, 1,000 light years away from Earth. This is one of those games that kind of hit YouTube by storm, where like every major YouTuber's playing. It's just, you have a farm of different slimes. It's just one of those, just like
farm, you say,
like Stardew, you know, just chill out, explore, get some new slimes. You suck them up in this vacuum thing. You shoot them into like pens. It's really fucked up when you think about it. Like they're captives now. Really chill game.
It's got my attention.
Alex was playing it on Steam for a while. It was cool. Socketeer, PS4 digital. Spectrum, PS4 digital. Tracklab, PSVR digital. There's your selling VR game. That's what you want to get. Warhammer 40,000 Inquisitor Martyr, PS4 digital.
That's Warhammer 40Ks.
It's too far gone Like, I see it from the outside Warhammer, I'm like, it looks kind of cool. It looks like something I'd enjoy. Where the fuck do I start with this thing? Can't, so I'm not going to. That's it.
Obviously, the standouts there are Dragon Cafe and Guacamelee 2. And a little bit of Slime Rancher on there coming in third.
I think I'll get Little Dragon's Cafe.
Yeah, I think we'll break it.
Because like I said earlier, I don't know if we were doing video then or not. But Death's Gambit I was keen for, but it's kind of getting mixed reviews, so I probably maybe won't. I don't know. I need to ask permission to do the wrap-up now, because every time I just think I'll do the wrap-up, you're like, nope, I have more to say. No. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you are a Patreon supporter of the show, you can watch us record this show live. That's any tier, any amount. You get the secret little link to come watch this live, and you can contribute like throughout the show like people do. And of course, if you want to show the love for Pop Culturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts like this, and not this one because he's smelly. But you know, we had a lovely sale, a couple of shirts got picked up. And of course we are, and I keep saying and of course, and we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can subscribe, follow, give us some of them sweet bitties titties, as we'll be hashtagging soon. Probably not. I don't really get my account banned, but until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.
Just thinking about your negative attitude towards the next gen of consoles and what you want out of it. It's really disappointing.
Oh, look, I have expectations for what the console's going to be. It's just, it's the internet response around them that's going to make me happy.
You just want that smug satisfaction.
I want everyone. I just can't wait for the internet hypocrisy. That's what makes me excited.